Welcome back and happy new year, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is our slightly belated this week Hoops HD report. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by Joby Fortson and David Griggs.
Chad, you must have had one hell of a New Year's Eve. You sound rough.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a rough New Year's Eve, David. I tried to go over to your place and...
I tried to warn you. Wow.
Yeah, the whiskey was flowing like wine. Is that how, what should we say?
It was flowing like water. they shut the water off at my house.
Okay. This is the Hoops HD report. What we're going to do is go through all of the major conferences, discuss the games over the last week or so, a little over a week from over the past week or so. There wasn't really much at the beginning of the past 7 days here. And just discuss all kinds of things, including, I think we want to do, David, you want to discuss also some of the biggest surprises and disappointments that we've seen so far this year?
Yeah, it might be cool.
Okay. We'll do that by conference, I guess. We don't know what we're really doing, though. But let's start by pulling up some standings and get me off the screen here. Did that work or no?
It has not shown up yet. No, Chad, that's your computer.
Yeah, no, I'm just not be able to do anything right today, am I? Let us try this one more time.
As opposed to when?
Not now.
No, it's still... Oh, there it is.
Okay, there we go. Let's start in the ACC with the number one, and at least according to the coaches poll, number two teams of the nation. And Joby, this being your conference, how about these top two teams here as we get ready for conference play other than the one game that's been played so far?
Well, I mean, it's going to be really interesting. I do think, you know, we could see if ESPN is honest with the credibility of the games in question, you honestly could see for the first time ever game day at both locations. because they play each other twice on Saturdays. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Spaced out. Virginia and Duke, you know, it's raw talent versus a system. And both teams have looked obviously close to flawless in the case of Duke, with the Gonzaga exception, and flawless in the case of Virginia. And, you know, in the net, not just the coaches' polls, et cetera, but the net has them 1-2. Right now, while I do have teams like Michigan in that argument for who would be the best team in the country to date, these two are certainly, I think, worthy of that discussion and probably would be both one seeds on my bracket right now.
And, David, beyond that, we have, you know, look at that. There's five teams in the top 15, six teams in the top 25 overall, if I'm doing my math right there. Including a very impressive performance by Virginia Tech in the only conference game so far, beating Notre Dame.
Yeah, and they beat them rather handily. And again, just to kind of build on what Joby said, I mean, are we going to see more than four protected seeds out of this conference? Because as they go through it, there's enough of it to where four or five teams can kind of run away from everybody else with the league being as deep as it is, and then kind of pushing themselves forward when they play against each other. So, when you're talking Duke, North Carolina, NC State, who hasn't really been tested yet, at least not hugely tested, but still looking pretty good. I mean, I know they had a big win at home, but against Auburn, but they've got a lot more to do. It's just, what a deep conference all the way until you get to about the 12th team.
Yeah, well, let's talk about a couple other things that happened before we get to the 12th team. Louisville, who had impressed us a little bit, did not really show up against Kentucky.
Yeah, they didn't play poorly against Kentucky. Kentucky went from having their best win be at home against UNC Greensboro in a game that, while they ran away from it in the end, they kind of had to sweat out. They sweat out Southern Illinois, who we thought was good but is having their struggles and really not looking good at all. And then in 8 days, they beat – I don't want to say they blew them out, but they handled North Carolina. And then they went to Louisville and handled them. So two monster wins away from home for Kentucky. So my question is that more Kentucky finally getting it in gear, or is it Louisville not being as good as we thought? I tend to think it's the former.
I would say a single team justifies that explanation, and that's Seton Hall. Seton Hall beat Kentucky and lost to Louisville earlier. And now, what would happen now? I think Louisville probably still beats Seton Hall. I don't know if Seton Hall still beats Kentucky. And so I would say it's the former.
Yeah. Joby, another game that impressed me very quietly, Clemson beating a what we thought was a very good Lipscomb team and beat them rather handily. Is this Clemson turning the corner as we get into conference play also?
Well, they don't have to turn the corner per se. They are what they are. I think they are a bubble team right now and probably on the right side of the bubble. The win against Lipscomb, yeah, it is a very good win. Lipscomb is a very strong team. You know, that Belmont twofer game, you know, twofer system is goes into it. For those who don't know, they two Nashville, Tennessee schools playing each other. Lipscomb's good, and they've given a lot of people a lot of trouble this year. And Clemson doing the job shows that, hey, this is probably an NCAA tournament team. We're not talking protect and see. We're not talking among the elite of the conference. They won't be one of the more than four protected seeds if this conference does it. But I think they'll be in the discussion for a bid throughout as long as they take care of business against the lower and hold serve against those in their range in the conference like the Louisvilles and the Syracuse.
And David, I guess we'd be remiss if we don't mention the two upsets, if they were even upsets, but both Wake Forest and BC losing at homes to teams that a lot of people have never even heard of before.
Yeah, Boston College, you want to be nice to them, but then out of their three losses, they have a respectable record, but two of their three losses were home bye games, and there's no reason to be nice to Wake Forest.
Really. Okay, well, let's take a quick look at the upcoming schedule first here in the ACC, as we do hit really into conference play here, other than the game that's going on right now between Upstate and Georgia Tech. But yeah, I mean, this is it though, Joby, isn't it? This is, you know, the season has really begun now.
Yeah. Well, and yeah, we have that little start, you know, with Virginia Tech, Notre Dame this week, but really it's Saturday. And it comes, you know, that Clemson team we talked about going to Duke and Florida State, Virginia. You're always on every day, because this conference is so deep and has such elite, there's going to be quote unquote great games every time every team is in action. And we see it this week. It's not that, yeah, I mean, North Carolina is playing Pitt and, you know, et cetera, you know, Miami, Louisville, but it's Clemson, Duke, Florida State, Virginia. I mean, that's great. And Boston College, they have been Virginia Tech's pain in the tail, just as a note. So that BC team that is rightfully being ragged on for its Hartford performance, they could walk into Castle and win. Not saying they will, but they could. There's just something about them. I mean, Kai Bowman's still on that BC roster last time I checked.
Well, David, let me ask you your question here. Who has been your biggest surprise, your biggest disappointment so far in the ACC this year?
Biggest disappointment, it's probably got to be the Miami Hurricanes. And again, I know that we're going into conference play. There's still time to turn it around. And the surprise, and I don't know if they're a big surprise, but they're certainly not at the bottom of the league. I think Louisville, despite the four losses, has looked really, really good. And of those four losses, one was to Tennessee, one was in overtime to Marquette, and another was Kentucky was one, and I forget the other one. But anyway, like, there's nothing to really be ashamed of the, on that profile. It's still pretty strong. And they have the win at Seton Hall. And I think they've been playing really well and that they're going to, at the end of the day, be in the top half of the bracket.
Yeah, the other two teams I mentioned sort of disappointments. I think Syracuse was a team, Joby, that we all thought was going to be a lot better than this.
Probably fifth in the conference.
Yeah, and NC State, I thought they'd be decent, but I didn't think they'd be number eight in the net heading into January.
And
good call on NC State.
Yeah, NC State, and David was right on picking Auburn, but they also beat Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Very, very strong win. Their schedule's awful, though. I mean, it really is. All right, you get the win against Auburn and Vanderbilt, but yet your schedule, your out-of-conference schedule is still just absolutely, I don't know if it's listed here, but it's in the 300s.
337.
I mean, it's literally every game is against someone like in the 300s of the net, and it's just awful. That's not that. But that being said, they are certainly my surprise and the disappointment. I know this will be controversial to say a little bit, but I thought North Carolina would be challenging for the conference title. They have not played to that level. They are not on Duke and Virginia, and I dare say Florida State and Virginia Tech's level right now.
I'm not ready to quite say that. If you look at, I mean, the metrics, especially at the predictive side, are still, you know,
right,
battling for a number one seed type of numbers. So,
but they got boat raced by Michigan. It wasn't competitive.
That's a damn good Michigan team.
It's a great Michigan team, but that it's a Michigan team that's at the same level as their counterpart 8 miles away. So that means to me, you're going to get boat raced by Duke. You're not winning the conference. I thought they'd be competing for the conference win. You're not winning the conference if in the Dean Dome, you know, which is where I think they would get boat raced. I think they would lose right now to Duke substantially. You're not winning the conference that way. Whereas Virginia, because of the style of play or whatever, actually could still win the conference, even though this Duke team is, you know, got, you know, 5 NBA players starting. All
right. Let's jump over to the Big East. David, let me let you start off here. Here was the results of this past week. The, you know, we did see the start of conference play, including St. John's splitting their games, but giving a very game effort against Seton Hall and then beating Marquette by 20.
Yeah, I was skeptical about the Johnnies all year long. I was calling BS when they were sweating out some of their home bye games. I basically am kind of all in on them now. The loss to Seton Hall, while it was a loss, I think it was the game that impressed me the most. Well, that and the last one against Marquette. Because, again, it is not easy to win at Seton Hall. Seton Hall, look at those. I mean, 2-0, 11-3 on the year, a win over Kentucky on a neutral floor. Just a really strong Seton Hall profile, and they've looked really good all year too, and they just went in and beat them or nearly beat them. So the Johnnies, in my opinion, are legit. I mean, in by legit, I mean in on the first ballot in the top half of the bracket. Yeah.
Joby, what about the Georgetown Hoyas? A very nice win tonight at Butler.
I'm shocked that that happened. A road win at Butler. I'm actually very surprised Georgetown was able to pull it off. I've seen this. You know, Georgetown is living off a, once again, their strength of schedule is, you know, I'm actually shocked it's 200-something, not 300-something. Maybe it's because they have the Butler win, which they have to play. You know, that's part of it. Georgetown's better than we thought, but they're still not anywhere close to caliber worthy. They have some they still have some rats on the profile that are going to drag them down, rightfully so. But maybe Ewing has it going in the right direction, dare I say. It's definitely – a step up from last year. Last year, they don't go into Butler and win too much, I don't think. You know, and they've got a great inside game. Maybe that had a little something to do, but 84 points, that's a nice total.
Another possibility, maybe Butler just sucks.
Well, Butler got completely hammered by Florida on Saturday, so that is a good point. And we may have a developing story here as we record this. This game won't go final before we're done. But right now, Villanova, as we approach halftime, is losing at home to DePaul. So this is a pretty much Villanova doing what they've been doing all season, unfortunately. But
I think that, well, there's a couple of candidates in this. But for most disappointing team, I think we can go – I mean, that Villanova, for the same reason I gave for North Carolina, I was expecting Villanova to win this conference by 3 games in the preseason podcast. That is not going to happen, obviously. Could they still get a bid? Certainly. Villanova right now is probably in the tournament as we speak, assuming they don't lose to DePaul. But, wow, this is not the, you know, surefire protected seed, most likely a 1 or a 2 that I dreamed up at the beginning of the year.
And is it time to fire Jay Wright? Is it time to warm that seat up? Is it time for a change?
Yeah, I don't think we're quite there yet, David. But, David, how about the most surprising? Would it be the Seton Hall team? Would it be the Johnnies? Would it be Georgetown?
I would say the Johnnies or Seton Hall. Something about Seton Hall, yet again, I don't see how you can be as successful as they have been over the last 3 or 4 years, yet always consistently remain sort of under the radar or under the sideline. It's just this propensity to – not give Seton Hall the credit they deserve. I mean, they've won a Big East tournament. They beat Villanova, I think, one of the years they won the national championship. They've just been phenomenal, yet they seem to go disturbingly unrewarded or unrecognized for it. So I guess you could call them a surprise. The disappointment, I think, is Butler.
Yeah, I'd agree Butler's disappointing, although I think I agree more so with Joby that Villanova's the biggest disappointment. Upcoming games, other one to circle here on Saturday, St. John's at Georgetown. Didn't think we'd be circling that one at the beginning of the season, but at this point, I think we got it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's keep jumping along here, right over to the Big Ten Conference. And David, I got to start with you with what happened in the first of the latest round of conference games tonight, where Maryland.
Nebraska. Well, what happened was there were fouls that weren't called. There were free throws that shouldn't have been missed, and the dark web reached its long arms again out and damaged Nebraska. And I kind of shared this on Twitter. This is – I put this together with the J&G. Can I borrow the screen share here?
Okay, there you go.
And again, these are expanded metrics, and this is something that I think is important. It's – you have to consider this. Now, it's wins in the state of Nebraska versus everybody else in the top 10 of the J&G, and it's not even close. So, again, I don't see how the committee could ignore this, because if you know me and you follow me and you listen to the show, the one thing that I think you all are always overrating is what a team does on the road.
I just don't know what to say that other than maybe we should discuss a few other games that happened. I'll get the screens back up here. But, Joby, probably the biggest surprise might have been Wisconsin's loss to Western Kentucky.
Yeah, no, without a doubt. Wisconsin's looked very strong. Ethan Happ has looked like the player of the year candidate in the Big Ten that we thought he'd be. And Western Kentucky's been disappointing. It's not that this is that Hilltopper team, that this plucky Hilltopper team that's going to, you know, be, if they win their conference, they get a 11 seed, you know, sort of team. It has not been that until now, maybe you could say. Maybe they're turning it around. I mean, Wisconsin, it's flat out surprising that it happened. And I think Wisconsin will be fine. It was a surprise.
David, I got to mention that the Purdue's win over Belmont also. I want to ask you about that, because kind of like that Lipscomb win by Clemson, not a name brand, but I think it's a very solid win.
It was a solid win, and it wasn't so much that they won that was surprising, but how dominant they won against a Belmont team that is very, very good. We're going to talk about them and Lipscomb and Western Kentucky tomorrow. A quick note on Western Kentucky, we might see them in the Elite Eight, or we might see them lose in the opening round of Conference USA in front of the curtain. They are the most schizophrenic team I have ever seen, beating West Virginia and Wisconsin and losing to who was a sub 300 team. It is just the most all over the place. Anyway,
we're not talking Ivy League right now. That's not for the show either, or the Penn Quakers. But
But again, a really good showing for Purdue. And if you pull up Purdue's profile here, does their profile match how good they are or how good they're going to be? I don't think it does. I'm still a believer in Purdue, even if the paper isn't quite there yet.
Yeah, that should come up here in a second. It's just loaded.
I think Purdue falls in the same category as Florida in that they stumble out of the gate. We all thought they were a top 25 team, and they stumble out of the gate. Are they finding their sea legs finally? And I might add that net tier win after tonight with Maryland winning, I think, will push them into the top 30 or might be right on the edge of it. That Maryland win will probably turn into a tier one.
Yeah. Not much away from home. And again, if we can look at a team that you mentioned earlier, this Nebraska team, I mean, I know the committee's going to mess this up, but I think that they're a home court hero. I think that that's what they've been for the last couple of years. And in order to get there, they're going to have to beat at least somebody that's going to make the NIT away from home.
Well, they beat at Clemson.
Clemson. They do have the win at Clemson, yeah.
Yeah, that's a solid one.
Yeah.
And the home win over Seton Hall by 23 points.
I mean, Nebraska might actually beat Michigan State at home, but they're going to go on the road and lose to – if they were playing DePaul on the road, they might lose to DePaul.
They'll lose at Illinois, who lost to Florida Atlantic.
Yeah, they could.
There's the upcoming schedule as we continue through conference play here. Northwestern Michigan State going on as we record this. But, Joby, again, lots of good games out here, aren't there?
Yeah, and very reminiscent of what I said about the ACC. There's so many strong teams. I mean, when you look at that list, I mean, you know, all the 0-2 teams I'm not a big believer in, including Iowa. Sorry, I'm just not. But but those top nine right there are that you see on that left side. That means every time the entire conference is in play, you're going to get a, hey, Minnesota-Wisconsin game. What a cool game. You know,
it is for Ballpark and Zucks.
You know, I mean, that's a great game. Indiana, Michigan. I mean, you're going to get these every time, and that's what makes it so fun to see a conference like the ACC, the Big Ten. I'd even say with the growth of St. John's, the Big East too.
And we've got the flyover trophy game this week. Iowa, Nebraska.
Yeah, I think Nebraska will actually pull it out. Hey,
Joby, do you have a biggest surprise, biggest disappointment in this league?
Biggest surprise to me is Indiana. They've been. Wow. I didn't think much of them entering the year. I didn't think they'd make the tournament and stuff, but they're wearing white. You know, right now, I love what Indiana's doing. Disappointment is Purdue. Maybe they can turn it around. But 8-5 is an awful record, and
more disappointing than
7-7. If just using the numbers, sorry, not 7-7, but with their twin game, if you go 10-10 in the Big Ten, you know, with what they're doing right now, they're going to wind up 17-12, or 17-14. That will likely not get you in the NCAA tournament. They have put themselves in a hole that they can get out of. They are talented enough to do so, and they have the opportunities to do so, but they are in a hole statistically. And it's not, yeah, and so it is going to be a slog for them to get in the tournament.
I'll tell you that.
Put themselves in
position. The two other teams that I would mention, in terms of disappointment, I think I expected a little bit more out of Penn State this year. I thought they might be competitive. Yeah. And in terms of surprises, I'm going to go a little bit strange here, but I'm going to go with Michigan.
That was going to be my pick. And
David, go ahead. Talk about them.
Well, they're ranked number two. They're number one in, like, the S-curve. And this was a team that, like, we were questioning – well, I mean, we were questioning whether or not they'd even be a protected seed. I don't think we were – questioning whether they'd make it, although Chad may have been. But nobody thought Michigan was going to be this good, did they?
No. You're right. And I had Michigan. I was probably the highest of everybody, as I remember, on Michigan. But I didn't have them – like, I mean, the J&G right now has them number one. And if you look at the raw totals in the J&G, you know, beyond the numbers of just ordinal rankings, the gap between them and number two, essentially Kansas, Duke, Virginia, are all like – packed together, there is a gap, and that is a well-earned gap thanks to Michigan, strong conference, strong record, and just extremely, even away from home, strong performances.
Let's take a look over at the Big 12, where we just saw a horrific to watch game go final here. The first conference game of the season, Texas Tech did get the road win at West Virginia. You wanted to gouge your eyes out, though, David, didn't you?
Yeah, it was damaging to the retinas, although it was exciting at the end. To look ahead to your question, it's these two teams.
Yeah.
Texas Tech, the biggest surprise. West Virginia, the biggest disappointment. But this game aside, when you look at Texas Tech's paper, I think there needs to be a little more on it. I know they only have the one loss. It was against Duke. It was a game where they played extremely well and appeared to have a chance to win, but ended up kind of tailing off. But they've been remarkably good this year. I don't think they're going to challenge Kansas for first place or anything, but I do think we're going to see them as a projected seed for the second year in a row.
Joby, if you look under the KPI column, the top two teams in the nation are in this conference and are playing each other right now as we record this. Kansas and Oklahoma still continue to surprise. Aren't they a contender there, at least with Texas Tech?
They have played so. I think I agree that Texas Tech probably is the biggest surprise, but you could make a very strong case for Oklahoma, which we, I think, had – you know, the 10 teams probably looking at like 8 or 9 in the post-Trae Young era. Post-Buddy Hield, post-Trae Young, who's going to come up next? Oklahoma right now has five strong quality wins against either NCAA caliber or just outside the NCAA caliber competition. Creighton, Florida, Wofford, Notre Dame, and watch this one, North Texas, who's ranked in the top 40 in the net for a reason.
And they beat those
their overall record. Yeah, that's why they're racing top 40.
But they've, you know, the only loss is to Oklahoma, and then they actually have some decent wins mixed in. I mean, not to turn into a the radar. But
one other team we should quickly mention in terms of disappointing. I know I agree with you that West Virginia is the most disappointing, but Kansas State, despite the 10-2 record, David, I thought this was a team that was a dark horse national championship contender heading into the season.
Yeah, it's like they went to the bakery and choked on anything that wasn't a cupcake. I mean, they played a really weak schedule so far. They haven't really done much to, establish. Tytel's here to talk about K-State.
Happy New Year.
Oh, yeah, welcome, John Tytel. And Tytel, you jumped right in. David wants you to talk about Kansas State.
Gee, great way to come back from a week of vacation. The only thing I can tell you is that they're going downhill fast because of the loss of Dean Wade to, I believe, a two-month injury. I forget if it was a leg or something. They did very well in non-conference play, as you can see by the 10-2 record, and solid numbers across the board. But I think that they're going to have – it's going to take a big hit. I think he was projected as like a first-team all-Big 12 player. So I expect Kansas State – I think they'll still make the tourney just because they have enough talent and the bottom of this conference is a little wishy-washy, but I don't think it's going to be something where they're going to beat out any of these top three seeds for the top three in the Big 12 tourney.
I got the upcoming schedule of the Big 12 on the right-hand side of the screen there also. I kind of circled that Saturday West Virginia Texas game. That's kind of looking like an early, very must-win game for both teams, especially if it's not too late for West Virginia, but
I think Texas falls into that Purdue, Florida category of, hey, you've put yourself in a hole, but your losses are reasonable, you know, for the most part. I mean, I know we could talk Radford or whatnot, Texas, but the fact is now you got to climb out of it, and maybe a 500 conference record won't be good enough. And so I think Texas finds themselves in that exact same position. And that's not a place you necessarily want to be.
Well, now that we have Tytel here, it's the perfect time, I think, to turn to his favorite conference and talk about the conference that had the
welcome back December
in 20 years among a power conference. I think they have only four Tier 1 wins as an entire conference, and just saw probably the marquee job in the conference get fired in December, actually, with the email offered out. Tytel, how about your Pac-12?
So we got a couple of things going on here. One, this could be the worst Bay Area duo in Stanford and Cal that we've seen in the past 20 years or more. I was at the game last Saturday when Princeton beat ASU after the Sun Devils missed not one, not two, but three shots in the final few seconds. Obviously, Princeton is not a doormat, but they still shouldn't be beating Kansas, the number one team in the nation, and then losing Princeton at home a week later. My Wildcats are pathetic. It's a pretty ugly conference, but just to give a couple cents on Steve Alford, I think he's a good coach. He can still recruit. He's got Moses Brown, who came in as a McDonald's All-American. It's hard to say any excuse you can think of for losing to Belmont and Liberty and whoever else they lost to. It's hard to keep up as they've lost six games already. I hope Alford gets another job because I think he's a good guy, and I think that he can still win games at the D1 level.
He is a good guy, and I agree. He's won at all the places he's been. He was at Missouri State, went to a Sweet 16, did reasonably well at Iowa, although it always seemed they bowed out of the tournament early. And I mean this sincerely, and you kind of hate to see that. Like, most of the time, I don't feel sympathetic for coaches ever, and I don't necessarily feel sorry for him because I'm sure he got a nice buyout. But Steve Alford is a rarity in that he is a good guy. And you kind of want to see people like that succeed. I wish he would have stayed at New Mexico.
In terms of some of these other games, we saw Santa Clara now has multiple wins. Seattle now has multiple wins against the Pac-12. In terms of, we've been doing the, Tytel, you just joined us, but we've been doing the most surprising and most disappointing teams in each conference. I think for the Pac-12, I'm just going to call all 12 teams disappointing and move on from there. There is no surprisingly good team here, unless one of you wants to make a case for somebody. But Joe, let me ask.
The fact Colorado actually won 9 wins, even against cupcakes, is
the fact that WashU has a winning record.
Joby, yeah. There's the upcoming schedule on the right. Is there any games that you're even going to bother watching there?
You know, the team I just mentioned, the fact Colorado's doing the Arizona swing.
Right.
This is Colorado's one chance. If Colorado were to get those wins, which I don't think they will, I think they'll lose both. But if they were to get both, then I think you might be able to start talking about a second team from the Pac-12, and I'm not kidding when I say that.
Unless that knocks Arizona State back out of the discussion.
Yeah, so. I think Arizona State, luckily for them, the Kansas win gives them a lot of long-term street cred. And last year, you know, with the way Arizona State finished, the J&G, myself personally, I think Tytel, they were the surprise. A lot of people were talking about Syracuse or the fact Notre Dame was close. I actually think Arizona State making it was an absolute jaw-dropping shock, given the criteria that usually is done.
We picked them, Joby. We picked them in our mock. You were against them, but
I'd argue the big difference last year was the Kansas win was away from home. This year it's at home. Yeah.
It'll still give them some street cred if they run mostly roughshod through this conference. If they're total, you know, if they wind up with only two losses in conference, they're going to be they're going to be actually probably nearing a protected seeding.
Let's go over to the SEC here.
Please, let's go to something else.
Let's go. Tytel, let me start with you, where we saw the SEC finish up its non-conference season with a bunch of wins other than Texas A&M joining Baylor and losing at home and Oregon and losing at home to Texas Southern. But what are you looking at as we head into conference play here in this league?
Same as always, just to see if over-under is going to be around 8.5 or so. I don't think we can believe in a team like Vandy, despite the fact that they destroyed ASU just because they lost their McDonald's All-American point guard in Darius Garland. We certainly can't believe in South Carolina. I think Coach Martin might get fired. And I still don't know if I should believe in Mississippi State. We see the strength of schedule compared to the other top teams in this conference not great, but the metrics look fantastic. They have a lot of talent. They haven't wowed me yet, but I don't know that they've played anybody worth wowing me yet.
Yeah, Dave, in terms of the upcoming schedule here, as we do get into conference play of the SEC as well, starting Saturday. Yeah, it's starting Saturday.
Yeah.
A couple big games here to start things off, if this Ole Miss team has anything for real, don't we?
Yeah, that's a big one because going on the road against Vanderbilt, Kentucky, second road game of the year, another road test against Alabama. Again, coming off the huge road win at Louisville. Yeah. Mizzou, when you look at this conference, Chad, and you look at the overall Div 1 records, I mean, you can rattle off only a smattering of notable wins. I mean, Tennessee, of course, has the big win against Gonzaga. Kentucky has a couple of huge scalps on their profile. Everybody else is kind of – it's not they have decent wins at best, but they have these bloated records. And what's going to happen when these teams start playing each other? I don't know if Joby and our selection committee guessing expert have an opinion on that. Is this conference going to push itself forward, or do you kind of need – because the standard is, in my amateur status as a selection committee guessing person, you need to have the wins out of conference. You need at least one, and a lot of these teams don't have them.
Some of them are sneaky, though. It depends what the teams that they played, how they turn out. A perfect example is I'll use Alabama since they're the Kentucky game this week. Alabama has a win against Murray State, who's, you know, I mean, they're actually – that could turn into a neat little win. And Arizona. Now, if Arizona is – Tytel's Arizona team goes lackluster in the Pac-12 and goes 500, then it's – no one's going to care. But if Arizona makes a very strong run in the Pac-12, even with a down Pac-12, and puts up, you know, 14-4 type record in the Pac-12, well, then that's going to help Alabama. That's going to look like a good out-of-conference win. And then if Alabama takes care of business in the tournament, that pushes forward. So they might be reliant on not just what they do, but what those moderate wins do out of conference. Florida in particular, I've already mentioned them three times as that team. Florida in particular needs the teams they lost to that gave them these four losses to perform well out of conference. If all of a sudden you see the Oklahomas of the world fall apart, that's going to kill them and the conference as a whole at the same time, because I bet you Florida will be in the top half of this conference.
It'll just be interesting because, I mean, you look at Ole Miss, they're 10-2, but have they really been tested by tournament caliber teams yet? Same sort of with LSU, same with Arkansas, who has, but, you know, Missouri. It's just like it's bloated records, but do these teams have they been tournament tested, tournament caliber team tested? And it's just one of those things. Like, you might not see too many teams from this conference getting in with if they're only two games over 500. The magic number is kind of four if you didn't get an out-of-conference win against a tournament team.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask the question here. Tytel, let me ask it to you. Who is your biggest surprise, your biggest disappointment in the SEC?
Disappointment, there's a few to pick from. Before Florida destroyed Butler, I would have went with them. I don't think a 9-3 team can be a disappointment. I'll go with South Carolina just because they were literally a Final Four team a few years ago, and now I think their coach is on his way to getting fired. As far as surprises, we expected a lot of these teams, like Tennessee, Auburn, Kentucky, to be there. Mississippi State, I believe, was ranked preseason top 25, so I'll go with Ole Miss. I don't think anybody expected them to do anything with a brand-new coach after getting rid of Andy Kennedy. And 10-2, even with a terrible strength of schedule, I did not think they'd win 10 games in non-conference play.
I like those picks. I kind of agree with them.
I do, too.
All right, let's jump over to the American Conference, where, as we record this right now, Houston is putting the finishing touches on Tulsa, about to move to 14-0 overall, and into first place, tie with UCF and Cincinnati. UCF, a nice home win over Temple tonight as well. David, let me ask you about this league. You know, are we looking at a three-bid league here? Is that kind of what I'm looking at?
I think Houston is for real. I mean, I know that most of what they've done has been at home, but I think that they've done enough to indicate that they are good, and they're going to get their road wins in this conference. Connecticut, while they're probably not a tournament team yet, they are much improved. South Florida, I was kind of curious about them. They're actually playing UConn right now at home, and not – doing so well. It's halftime at the time that we're recording this, but I think we're going to see Houston and Cincinnati and maybe a third team in there as well.
All right. Joby, do you have a biggest surprise and a biggest disappointment in the American?
I have a biggest disappointment.
I mean, Houston's the obvious on the surprise. Disappointment, I got to go with Wichita State.
I agree with that. Yeah.
I thought they'd be maybe not. They were borderline tournament for me. Well, they're not even borderline. They're not sniffing this thing, and they're not making the NIT right now. And so they're not making the CIT, CBI, whatever other things they got out there.
Well, my biggest disappointment is the Tulsa Golden Hurricane. Frank Haith is still their coach. How is that not disappointing?
Tytel, the upcoming schedule's on the right side of the screen there. Anything that we're really even circling this week, at least, in the American?
So – I still don't think Houston's going to go undefeated, but one of their biggest tests, I think, is going to be on the road at Temple on Wednesday.
Right.
I am a diehard Fran Dunphy fan, so I don't know that even with that I'll be picking Temple, but Houston has been a big-time home court hero, I think, the past several months, so we'll see what they do on the road.
All right, let's jump over to the Mountain West Conference, where coming up later tonight, Nevada gets one of their toughest tests left on their schedule, where they're hosting Utah State, which is probably, David, the only other team with a real pulse, especially after what Fresno did over the weekend at home.
Yeah, inexplicably, Fresno losing at home to Utah Valley. Mark Pope doing a good job at Utah Valley. Nothing against our UTR listeners, but good grief. What a horrible, horrible putrid loss. And it's a two-horse race, and one's a thoroughbred, and one's in a claims racing horse.
Yeah, you also look at the Joby, San Diego State home loss to Brown. I mean,
what's going on there? I mean, should we just go ahead and lead in with most disappointing team?
Who's your most disappointed? Go for it.
San Diego State. I mean, it's
yeah.
I mean, the Boise makes a strong case for that.
Well, I don't expect much out of Boise this year, honestly. Yeah.
I mean, you know, yes, but so bad. I mean, Boise State's like putrid, and I didn't think they'd be putrid. I thought they'd be, you know, solid upper half of the Mountain West, not a tournament team, but of teams that really I thought could sniff the tournament, San Diego State, and they aren't sniffing the tournament. I mean, look at those metrics. 100, 100, 100, 100 across the board. No, you can't.
Tytel, is there a most surprising team for you here?
I guess I'll go with – not really. I mean, I thought Nevada was going to kick butt, which they did. I didn't know that we should believe in Utah State, but I think when you have three losses with that average, below-average schedule, that's right where you expect it. So, not really.
I was kind of leaning on San Jose State. I'm kind of surprised they have two D1 wins already, David, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, that's above average for them. Surprising, if I had to pick one, it would be Utah State, but yeah. Not really.
David, let me stick with you here. I'm going to pull the West Coast Conference up where we now have three teams all with two losses, so our dream of San Francisco having a better record than Gonzaga when they played each other is not going to happen if they lose at home.
To Santa Barbara, a decent Santa Barbara team, but a game that we thought San Francisco, being as good as what we thought they were, would win. Fun game to watch if you were tuned into that when the streaming was not fun. But anyway – I think maybe this team squeezes out a second bid between Loyola and San Francisco, but both of those teams kind of have losses or warts on their profiles already. It's Gonzaga is just going to blow through this. They're probably going to win out.
Tytel, is there a chance for multiple bids out of this league, though, with what San Francisco has, even San Diego there with some solid metrics?
Slim to none, only because I think that when you look at the strength of schedules, these guys would have to go like 25-3 and have at least a win against Gonzaga, I think. I do want to give a quick surprise team, Pacific, coached by legendary Wildcat guard Damon Stoudemire. All five losses this year to average to above average teams, most of them away from home. A very young team. Of their five starters, I believe only one senior and three juniors. So next year, I think they might make the leap to the top echelon of this conference, but still a year away.
Joby, upcoming schedules on the right here. There it is. We are getting into conference play here as well. Gonzaga hosting Santa Clara. St. Mary's at San Francisco. Maybe a couple games worth watching?
Well, I mean, yeah. Is St. Mary's getting their pulse back? Because they're my most disappointing in this conference. They play the Dons on tomorrow night, and we'll see how it goes. San Francisco and Loyola Marymount are almost now, with the UCSB loss, mirror images of each other. They don't have any wins. They have, you know, hey, San Francisco lost a respectable game to a good Buffalo team. Sorry, they're not there right now. They can't afford to have slip-ups against St. Mary's to even have a prayer, along with, as Tytel points out, that Gonzaga, they got to beat Gonzaga on top of it, but they also can't slip up. And with St. Mary's starting to play a little better, don't be surprised if the loss, you know, San Francisco is really exposed tomorrow night.
All right. Well, this is not the Under the Radar show, but we will take a quick look at the Atlantic 10 Conference anyhow. there it is. I don't even know what to say. David, is there anything worth saying about this league?
VCU is schizophrenic. They've got some really good wins and some really bad losses, and at least they're inconsistent. Everybody else pretty much consistently bad. You want to say that Fordham and Duquesne are a story, traditional bottom feeders in this league, off to 8-4 and 9-4 starts against D1 competition. But still, some of the games that they've lost, good God, it's how do you congratulate them when they have some of the losses that they do? Although I do think that those are programs with good coaches that are going in the right direction, not quite there yet. And how about LaSalle, the biggest surprise, taking home that trophy out there on the boardwalk?
Yeah, congrats to the Explorers there. George Mason, a very disappointing team this year. I guess, you know, Dayton performing, you know, a little bit better, but not – I wouldn't call them a surprise.
It's like this entire show has been, well, they're okay. They beat Butler.
Yeah, no, yeah. Butler's bad.
I mean, yeah, we've said that now four times. I actually think St. Louis is okay. St. Louis, you know, does have one nice win.
Yeah, the Billikens start conference play this week by hosting Rhode Island, then hosting UMass.
That everybody's been praising on this show. So, You know, St. Louis at least has that.
I want this league to be good. I really do.
Tytel, one other team I want to discuss here. They are still the top 25 in the polls. The Buffalo Bulls, number 20 in both polls right now. Still just the one loss at Marquette. Coming up, starting conference play at Eastern Michigan a couple nights from now.
I think they'll take care of EMU. Toledo, having just destroyed my Penn Quakers, is certainly one that they should circle. It's funny. I think back only like a couple weeks ago, I really had Buffalo and Furman like 1 and 1A, and now it's a 1 and a distant number 2. As far as Buffalo's chances of getting a bid at large, it could come down to like Toledo. I mean, Toledo's the only like major obstacle on their schedule. They're already they got about 20 games left. If they go like 29-3, but get swept by Toledo, I don't know.
Do you want to circle that game? That game
that they're in.
Yeah, circle that game January 25th at Kent State also.
Yeah, I think Kent State's pretty good.
Yeah.
For under the radar levels. I mean, you know, they're an NIT. Kent State is an NIT level team.
I guess on that note, let me pull this down and run through each of you for any other final thoughts. Joby, let me start with you.
Well, yeah, we're getting to conference play, and it'll be very interesting to see how that those metrics line up. Specifically, I'll go back to the point I mentioned earlier. It's not just, oh, in your conference you did X, Y, and Z, and now you can ignore what you've done. But, like, for instance, tonight, as a Virginia fan, I am watching the Big Ten like a hawk because it's Maryland involved. And can that Maryland team give a second out-of-conference bid team to Virginia to go along with the Wisconsin win? If you are a fan of a particular team, don't just watch your conference. You watch your team, you know, obviously. But pay attention to how the teams you played out of conference, win or lose, do, because they will be what comprise your resume as much as what you're doing in that conference.
Tytel, let me head to you, and I won't mention a word about a team that starts with M and is a few miles up the road from me here.
Thank God. No, I just wanted to give a sneak preview that we now that I'm back from a lovely week of vacation in cold and rainy Phoenix, we are going to be getting all sorts of goodies for you. I got lined up a Princeton ASU recap. I got the awards from the non-conference season. I'm going to go to the St. John's Georgetown game on Saturday. So please stay tuned in the weeks ahead, because one perk of the government shutdown is I'm going to have plenty of time to write all about the college basketball world.
Well, there we go.
Shutdown. Hoops HD is not. Here we go.
This is the whole reason for the shutdown, David, to give Tytel time to write things off, correct?
Yes. So he has made Hoops HD great again. Okay, anyway, we kind of mentioned it earlier, UCLA letting Steve Alford go in the middle of the year. You kind of hate to see that. I'm not surprised at the move, but I don't think it's necessarily the best move. We may have talked about this on the Under the Radar show, because you and I, Chad, I mean, we follow a lot of those teams, and you kind of wonder, is it going to affect any of them? And who are some of the candidates? And is it going to be somebody that's been at their school for a long time? I mean, you got Rick Byrd at Belmont, done very, very well there. Bob McCullough at Davidson. I don't know if those guys would be interested or not, but here is kind of a dark horse candidate no one's talking about. He's got 20 years Div 1 experience, just part of winning programs, been a part of a Final Four program. And let me get it up on the screen here. And he is George Mason, strength and conditioning coach, Andy Hendurahan. 20 years D1 experience. Chad, we can't hear you.
He's speechless. It was such a great final book.
I was speechless. But yeah, usually I give him a call because David says so. I don't know. But anyhow, on that note, I do want to thank everyone for joining us. On behalf of Joby Fortson, John Tytel, David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. We will talk to you again real soon. I think we're back tomorrow night with it Under the Radar. We'll be back to our normal schedule starting next week.
All right, Chad. Juice, water, and sleep. That's what you need.
God, yes. All right. Thank you, everyone.